The Adelaide Football Club list manager, Justin Reid. He's been through his first trade period as list manager at the football club. He joined us now. Reedy, how are you?
Good, thanks, Bix. Rowe, how are you, boys?
Yeah, very well, mate. How did you find it, and how did you rate your first crack at it?
Look, I'm pretty tired, to be honest, Bix. It's been a long 12 months, but certainly the last 6 weeks, it certainly ramps up. A lot of the work's done leading into the trade period, but then a lot of things change over the last fortnight. But I think where we were strong is that we were actually quite well planned and I guess stuck to our needs and followed that through and got some good results.
So that planning, that started when you started, did it all those months ago?
I think it started when I bumped into Rowey in that suit shop in about January near Rundle Mall, Rowey. So it starts very early, Bix. To be honest, already looking at 2016 and beyond. So you're certainly looking a fair way ahead and trying to execute that at the end of the year.
It's not just any suit shop. It's Joseph Azunku, Reedy, and you look mighty splendid in that pinstripe suit that you got from old Joe Azunku.
Likewise, Roe. You're looking very sharp yourself that day, being dressed by the wife.
Yeah. Now, here we go. You had 10 days to digest the Dangerfield trade. Trade one, 12:54 on a Monday. Now that you can sit back and benchmark it against the other value trades, let's say the Treloar and the Carlisle one, you're still happy with it. And then extension of that, just explain to those that are still querying why you did the deal so quickly.
Oh, look, I think at the end of the day, remember, Paddy was a free agent and the other two guys you're talking about were just a straight-out trade. Yes, we ended up trading for Paddy, but it's also what you've got to work with. Now, we didn't have two round one picks to work with. So let's be very clear out there. Geelong Footy Club had already made a commitment to the Carlton Footy Club regarding Henderson and a round one pick. So we worked with what was in front of us. We got what we thought was the best result for the Adelaide Football Club. Being able to do that trade early gave us the ability then to work on our needs for the next 10 days to get the best net result at the end of the trade period. So it just wasn't that one transaction. It was actually the end result at the end of the 10 days.
Yeah. So just on that, and an extension, if I not put words in your mouth, Reedy, but if the Dangerfield deal's not done early and it's dragged out, well, there's no men's or there's no seedsman type.
Correct. There might not be, Gore or Hampton. So you're right. We might, it's pretty simple. You could look at 0-14 or 9-28 and Gore. So I think that's the best way to look at it.
Yep.
And then you also then look at how then you can reflect on that and how you can use that towards the end of the trade period itself.
Jimmy Tumpas end up at Port Adelaide. You talked about your needs, that sort of outside running players, and you've got those players in Seedsman and Hampton. Was he a player that Adelaide looked at?
Yeah, we certainly did. I've known Jimmy for quite a while. I used to represent Jimmy, but we were actually a fair way down the track with some other guys like Curly Hampton, who we knew was keen to get home, and also Paul Seedsman. So we'd made a bit of a commitment there. So obviously you can't get everyone in that you would like at the football club, but look, Jimmy's a quality kid, and I'm sure he'll be happy to be home.
And in terms of the list, I think it looks a lot more balanced now with those inside and outside players. The players you've brought in are all those running types. They also, in terms of age-wise, they fill that gap that was left after losing those couple of first-round and second-round picks for the Tippett sanctions.
Yeah, Biggs, I think that's something we identified as a list management group. We obviously had those sanctions there, so there was a bit of a void from an age point of view. So with Paddy going out, I think at the back of our mind, being able to turn one player into three and identify those needs was always what we identified early on. And one, we've been able to identify the needs. Two, fill a bit of that hole. And the guys that we've brought in, yeah, they give us a bit more versatility, which is what Pikey's after. So it looks good on paper right now, but obviously it means a lot of hard work and the guys have got to get through pre-season and try and find a spot.
Of those four, who plays round one?
We'll have 40, 45 guys on the list, Rowie.
Yeah,
so
good answer.
at the end of the day, you've got a blank canvas for the new coach, so everyone needs to put their hand up.
Okay, you got picks 9 and 13. Where your list management is now, do any other players need to come out?
We'll work through that in the next week. So we'll catch up early next week, just go through the final list changes, and obviously that's due by Friday next week, I think. So we'll just work through that. So not too much more to go, but just got to work through a bit more.
Well, I've had a look at it, and in terms of the players that have retired and been delisted, the players you brought in, I reckon you still need to delist two players. Does that sound about right?
Sounds about right, Bix, one or two. So, I mean, depends if you go in with a list of 40 next year or maybe a few less. There's a lot of clubs doing my research leading into the trade period to actually go in with 38 players next year.
Mm.
So that's a little bit of salary cap situation. And also, look, the draft, you still can find really good talent in the draft, but I think a few clubs are also looking to decide to go to the rookie draft and then get a player with only a one-year contract instead of a two. That gives them more flexibility in 12 months' time going into maybe more of a deeper draft.
Where's a gap on the list? Is there one?
Rowey, there's always gaps. I reckon if we won the premiership, I reckon Hawthorn, Graham Wright wakes up the next morning and he's looking for the next gap and how he can fill that. So there's always ways to improve your list. We've identified, you know, a bit of outside speed and run and versatility in this trade period. I think you can never have enough, key position players or a bit of depth in your ruck. So, but you only really get one chance a year or twice a year, really. That's through your trade period and obviously through the draft to be able to, try and get that on your list for the next 12 months.
I would have said one for me would have been depth in ruck. If Saucy goes down, the club's in all sorts. Well, not in all sorts. Excuse me, that's a bit unfair. Luke Loudon, where's he at in all of that?
Yeah, look, Luke didn't get a good run at it the year just been. He came off an Achilles when he came into the club last pre-season. It's something that he's giving a rest now, obviously, through the break. So hopefully come day one of pre-season, he's been able to get a bit more of a foundation in his training, and through that, hopefully can give a bit more help to Source. And I think the real positive out of the season just been young Riley O'Brien. He, he's nearly become the best SNFL ruckman going around. So we've got some real confidence if Source was to go down, touch wood, that Riley can certainly step up.
And the other one's a key forward, touch wood again, someone like Tex. Who's the next key forwards on that list coming through? I know you've got McGovern and Deary, but who are they? Is that a gap?
Look, you can never have enough depth, but I think, Harry showed some really good signs last year. He had his shoulder, and Mitch, again, also showed some good signs. And like Tex, I think Tex took at least 2 or 3 years to come through, so with your key position players, whether it's a defender, ruckman or your key forwards, when you're, probably 196 up, it actually takes a bit of time to develop. So we're always analysing the list, trying to make it better. But I think as a forward line and how we worked this year as a group, not as individuals, you actually saw our forward line work really well. So I think what you'll find is it's actually how you actually work as a group and as a team, not actually specific individuals, going to really win it for you. It's actually the whole group as a, as a whole.
Troy Menzel, most people would have thought that looked like a great pickup for Adelaide. How much did it help that you're his former manager?
I probably had to try and take the bias out of it, Bix. Mm. I've known Troy since he was about 14 because I had a really close relationship with Daniel as well. So it gave me a really great insight to him as an individual and also as a footballer. I've seen him play through the midfield and even off half back when he was back at Central District. So he does bring some versatility, but he's also probably a bit of a wake-up call for Troy as well with regards to his work ethic, and he's probably got by on a lot of real natural ability. So he knows he's coming into our program and he's going to have to be head down, bum up, and to force his way into the team, there's a lot of hard work that goes with it.
Come on, we only got him because of you, Reedy, so that's a tick. And the other one is...
No.
Well, I know it's a team effort, but that would have helped. And the other one that was great to hear, Don Pike's meeting with Seedsman really convinced him that was his future as well. I love hearing that.
Yeah, no, that was... It was a great start. I think Pikey turned up at midnight on the Sunday, and I think we had this meeting on the Wednesday morning. So I think Seed was leaving that afternoon to America. So, yeah, we had obviously caught up with Paul 2 or 3 times prior to us announcing Pikey, and obviously then getting in front of Pikey and understanding a bit about Pikey and his personality and how we're actually going to play the game. I think it's just a really good blank canvas for Seed to come in and start afresh. He's had 5 years now, so he actually knows what it takes, and work on his strengths and actually add to the playing group.
So he flew overseas a bit like Treloar flew overseas. Did you put him in a Crows polo shirt, get him to do the obligatory grab on the website and just put that there till you were ready to push the button? Because Bix reckons that happens all the time, Reedy, and I said it doesn't.
No. Look, until you get the deal done, the deal's not done. So I'm a big believer of, I'm not going to put the cart before the horse, if that's what you call it. So I'd rather get the deal done. And once the deal done, then I can let Shutsy and his team work their magic.
Well, I'm just surprised then, Rowie, that blokes get in the Guernsey, they get photographed, they do that, and the second the deal's done, it's on the website. They must do it in 30 seconds, do they?
Well, they do. You just heard Reid.
Photoshopping, Bix, you know, that with all your press
there's a bit of that.
There at 500.
But there's also a little bit of the other stuff that goes on, a bit of pre-planning that never hurt. Interesting one for me, Jared Lyons. Throughout the year, he couldn't do any more in the SANFL, and many people thought that he might seek greener pastures or there might be some interest from other clubs. His name was hardly raised during the trade period. Was that because he's really rock solid and wanting to be in Adelaide, or because maybe there wasn't the interest from other clubs?
No, I think with Jared, I mean, this year, obviously, with Tomo's form and danger in the midfield, JL's, you know, that inside mid, and it wasn't probably till midway through the year, and he had been dominating the SANFL. He had to change a bit of his game plan and came up with that 5th-6th role off that half-forward flank and did that in the SANFL really well. And then you saw that then translate late in the year when he came on as a sub and how he finished. So, look, Jared's still really developing. Look, he committed to the club, you know, 12, 18 months ago for another 2 years and, you know, really well-liked around the footy club. And I think he's actually going to get, you know, even better with more opportunities. So I guess like the rest of the guys we've just brought in, there's you know, every opportunity for JL going into the next pre-season.
Now, this is slightly off course. The Jake Carlisle situation, you're a perfect person to ask because you've sat on the side of the manager and you know about representing your client. You're now the list manager. Rowie and I have been having a bit of a blue about disclosure. Allegedly, Anthony McConville knew about the...
Not allegedly, he knew. It's in the media business.
Okay,
he knew 24 hours before.
Well, he knew before that, and he didn't...
Why are you pandering it?
Well, I'm just covering my backside. I don't want to get sued, but he didn't disclose it to St Kilda. Does he have an obligation to disclose, Justin?
Oh, look, I think that's up to every individual. And with my integrity and honesty, I think I would actually put it on the table, because at the end of the day, you're going to have to deal with that football club again over a long time. So I would actually put it on the table. Yes, you're working on behalf of your client, but if you're actually trying to teach your client some real values in life and how you should go about it, then I think honesty is right there at the top of the list. So that's what I would have done. But at the end of the day, it's up to each individual and how they handle that situation.
There you go. Would you talk to your client first and encourage him to pick up the phone and do it?
Oh, certainly. You'd have that conversation with your client. You're not going to just do it without his consent. But, yeah, you'd have that conversation. But I think, obviously you need to guide your client and at least have that, you know, been able to give them that advice. But I think sometimes, you know, in life you might be compromise, and then you've got to come back to what's, you know, your own core values and what you believe in. So, you know, that individual at the time's then got to make that decision.
So that's an interesting one, though. In terms of the ethics, if you say to your client, I think you should do this, and then he says, no, I don't want you to say anything, what would you do then?
Very good question, Bix. Lucky I wasn't in that position to actually go through that. But look, as I said, I've been put in that situation before, and I think you just work through that, because at the end of the day, I think you can sit down and speak to someone honestly about what's right and what's wrong, you know, and not what always for you to gain out of it, but how it may affect others, and that's obviously either yourself or your family, then I think you come to the right decision most times.
Bix, there's a saying, don't compromise your morals. And you're asking him to.
Yeah.
Reedy, one last one. Brad Crouch, we have him signed before Christmas. You don't want another Dangerfield circus with him.
Let's hope so, Roy. Crouch is still coming back from his foot, but I know he's been doing everything right since he's been in that moon boot. I think he's in holiday in Thailand at the moment with his brother. So, we've obviously got a number of players out of contract in 2016. So, you know, all of them are important to try and keep our attention and keep building the list.
Mm. So just before we let you go, Reddy, who's out of contract right now, today?
Right today, in for 2016?
Yeah, so by the 31st of October this year, their contract's up.
We've already gone out and named a few, so there's another two or three we need to work through, Roey, so we'll work through that over the next week.
No, and I know it's sensitive, so we'll leave it at that, Reddy. I think you answered that one well as well. Thanks for your time, Justin. Your first big list management, I've given it a double thumbs up. In actual fact, I've given it an A+. Bix has given it a C-. You two might have to have a coffee over that, but well done, Reddy. Good work.
Okay, thanks, boys.
Great work. Justin Reid, he's done a terrific job with his team. Mm. I know it's a collective, but I think they've done very well, Bix.
Yeah, look, in the end, we said we'd judge them on the collective. Yeah, I think they've definitely got a pass mark, and probably I'm happy to give them a B. Yeah. Happy to give them a B.